Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Week 10 of football's in the books. It's time to get ready for Week 11. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 11, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code KSN. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code KSN to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with my buddy Greg Pickle. Greg, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well, Jim. Happy to be back talking about Penn State football, even though I'm not too sure how happy the fans are with this team and then maybe with us right now.
That is probably the case, but I'll tell you what, judging by fan reaction from our Ask Greg questions to message boards to just notes that I've been getting, they are certainly engaged and they are definitely frustrated and they want answers to questions. So, Greg, I'm going to ask you some questions that are follow-ups to everything that was going on following this Penn State-Nebraska game. And here's where I want to start. Obviously, the quarterback has been such a source of conversation. Sean Clifford has been so disappointing this season. I know different people had different expectations for him. Personally, I was pretty high on Sean Clifford, especially in his second year. But I've heard the talk, well, new offensive coordinator, odd year, all of that. But in my opinion, that doesn't explain the bad interception, the bad fumble, not seeing open receivers. Greg, what is going on with Sean Clifford? I don't think anyone expected this from him.
No, you're 100% right on that, Jim. He's a guy who obviously has always played with his heart on his sleeve and has always been willing to do whatever his team needed him to try and win a football game. And that's been, I think, something that everyone's respected about him since he became the starter last season. But you know, James Franklin, I think a lot of us thought he would pull the trigger sooner than he did, Jim, but he didn't really have any choice after that turnover. And I thought his quote after the game was telling when he said it's hard to kind of be confident in the offense when you're not confident about whether or not you're going to turn the ball over. And I thought that was interesting because if that's really truly how he felt, then it makes even less sense that they waited so long to do this because, let's be honest, Penn State is, in the middle of a shortened season to begin with. You only have so much time to show up your offense and impress recruits and build for the future and all of that. So if that was really how they were feeling, you know, I question why this move wasn't made sooner because they can't trust how the offense operates and they're working on the assumption that turnovers are always right around the corner. Well, then they got to make a change with the person responsible for most of those turnovers, which was Sean Clifford. So we will see what happens during this week to come. I would just be beyond stunned, Jim, if Will Levis is not named starting quarterback, unless he is somehow hurt or something else going on. I can't see them going back to Sean Clifford at this point. And I thought Will Levis did enough nice stuff against Nebraska to earn that shot at having the starting job for the rest of this season.
Well, that leads to my next question, Greg. We were leading to this point. I know many fans thought the trigger should have been pulled last week at the latest, and James Franklin seems to be loyal to a fault. But there was a quote, I think it came from Will Levis himself, but I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, that he didn't get many reps with the first team the past week in practice leading up to this game? Don't you have to at least, even if you're still starting Sean Clifford, give Will Levis more reps with the starters?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any question about it. So, you know, I do understand that, again, that he's been pretty direct about the fact that he thought Sean Clifford kind of earned this leash and earned this opportunity to, you know, be the starting guy and to try and fight through whatever issues he's been dealing with on the field. And, you know, so I get it from that perspective. But, yeah, you know, if you think there's any chance your backup quarterback's going to have to come in if things go poorly, which we all kind of, I think, had the idea that that was possible, then, yeah, you owe it to him to get him some reps. There's no question. And the fact that Penn State didn't just seems baffling to me. So, you know, again, I think that there were some things Will Levis did well when he came in. There were some things that he did not do as well. And ultimately, you know, I think they are fixable for the most part. Some of it, you know, it's just he's not used to being the number one guy. Some of it's he's just not used to being throwing to the receivers that he was throwing to. So some of these things I think will be easier to clean up than other things. But yeah, ultimately, Jim, I would have thought that they would have got him a little bit more of an opportunity in practice leading up to this game. But there should be no doubt about you know, what he's going to get in practice this week.
A week ago when we talked about this, you mentioned that you thought Sean Clifford would be on a short leash. How many series did you predict he would have before he would be pulled?
Jim, we don't remember to announce the winner from one segment to the next, so I do not recall how many series I thought that I predicted last week. I want to say maybe it was like five, six.
I think you said three.
Three? Okay.
How many series did he play?
I believe it was three.
I think so also.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I honestly, Jim, would have – I don't know about you. I thought they were going to make the change right after the interception because, you know, I don't know if Dotson ran the wrong route. I don't know what happened there, but that wasn't even close to where Dotson was on the field. And they still – you know, the Nebraska kid was as wide open as Dotson was, and he picked the wrong team to throw it to. So I thought they were going to make the decision then.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that theory about, gee, he ran the pattern wrong, but I from where the pass went, it doesn't make sense that it was they were on a different page. I think it was just a very poorly thrown ball, and you can't have that. Let's move on. My next question, Greg, is, why is this team so woefully unprepared at the start of the game? And some of the numbers are ridiculous for first halves this year. They've been outscored 93-26 in the first half. And I get, you know, the turnovers were happening, but what's going on that the team, both sides of the ball, are so totally unprepared?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I just, it defies logic, Jim. I really believed, and maybe this is one of those things where you're too close to it and you hear and see things from guys that if you were more of a national observer, I guess, and you were looking at this game from 50,000 feet and not 500, that you wouldn't have picked up on this. But listening to the players in Franklin talk this week, I really thought they were going to come out with a different mindset to start this game. You know, we heard all of the people talk about, you know, how much respect they had for Journey Brown and how they wanted to play this game for him. You heard Jaywon Sider talk about a lot of different things in a very honest way prior to the team heading to Lincoln. And I just had a sense after all those interviews last week that they were going to come out ready. They were going to come out firing. And it just didn't happen. I mean, the defense continues, and this has been a problem for a few years now. The defense, when any other team comes out with a script game plan, they have struggled at times to counteract that and use their own script or get that team off their script. And so, I mean, it's not been as big of a problem every year prior to this one as it's been this year, but it's a challenge. There's absolutely no question about that, and it's one they have to fix. But, you know, I just – there's no rhyme, reason, or otherwise for the way this team starts games. There just isn't. It's not like they don't practice all week. They do. It's not like they don't script out their own plays on offense. They do. And for whatever reason, they just look like they forget what time the game starts. And when you're in these gigantic holes at halftime every week, you're not going to win very much. I mean, it's very hard to come back multiple times in one season when you're down 14, 17, 21 points. And it's darn hard to do it when it's every single week. You know, you're not going to win too many games like that. And it's one of the major reasons Penn State is winless. You know, they've looked better in most of the second halves, but it's too little too late, Jim, because they have put themselves in such a gigantic hole during the opening 30 minutes. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a lack of focus. I don't know if it's, you know, no fans and the environment's just so different that they just have a hard time getting ready to go. I don't know, but of all the things that we've seen happen this year that are surprising and stunning, I mean, this team, a James Franklin team looking unprepared to play 4 weeks in a row, is just really surprising.
Well, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the coaching staff and what they've been up to in our next segment. But my, I don't want to pile on with Sean Clifford, but when he makes the mistakes that he's made and it costs them so many points, like in this game, the fumble with the scoop and score, the very bad interception, it costs you points. That's a huge part of what digs the hole. My last question I want to get to, Greg, is a lot of fans are talking about the final two drives with Penn State, with Will Levis leading the way. They twice got down to about the 10-yard line, and it was four down territory both times, and there were eight passing plays called, which seems to be what most people are questioning. I don't have as big an issue as most fans, but I didn't like the pass plays that were called. I thought they were low percentage. What's your take on those last two possessions?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, again, it felt to me at times like they didn't want Will Levis to have to throw the ball any more than he had to, Jim. And then they kind of put him in some situations where he just didn't have to throw the ball, but he had to make some pretty low percentage throws. I think we're both on record as hating the fade, and that goes back a few years now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they don't have big receivers, number one. And they haven't really had a quarterback, Trace was notwithstanding, I guess, who can throw that route. So I just don't, you know, I get it. And I will say this, Penn State guy, I mean, they got their receivers did get open and behind them, but it's still a low percentage throw even when that happens. I mean, you can feel good about the fact that those plays aren't going to lead to turnovers, but you can feel great about them leading the touchdowns. So, you know, I think that Kirk Ciarrocca is trying his best to get comfortable in this offense and get this offense into a rhythm, but he's doing so with now his backup quarterback, presumably his third, fourth, and fifth string running backs, and they're shuffling guys on the offensive line. So you can kind of understand why it gets to this point, but it doesn't make it any less acceptable or something that Penn State fans are enjoying. There's no question about that.
I think another argument for running the ball at that point is, you know, it's four down territory, so you've got an extra play to make that first down. All right, that's it for quarter number one. In quarter number two, we're going to take a look at the coaching staff.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.